all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
All right, welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot, Vietnam, 1969. Seems like a couple hundred years ago now. I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. We've got a lot of interesting guests. We're going to be talking with the Michigan commander of the VFW, John Griffith, in just a moment. And then we're going to be talking about our benefits with Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans, and also the VA healthcare system with the PR director here at the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center. That's going to be Brian Hayes, and they're going to be joining us in just a little while. But I want to encourage you, if you have a question about benefits and so forth, you know, give us a call today. The number is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. You know, things are changing so dramatically with the VA, with the PACT Act and everything else that's going on out there. I'm sure you may have questions, because I know I sure do, and I've got a couple of them written down here that we are going to ask our experts when they join us in a little while. Before we get into our program, I want to make sure that we thank our sponsors. We can't do Veterans Radio without our supporters, and they're starting off with Legal Help for Veterans. And Legal Help for Veterans does specialize in veterans disability claims. You can give them a call at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC. This is the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. Remember, if you want to do business with the federal government or with any corporations, and you are a veteran-owned business, you got to be certified, folks. So this is one of the organizations that can help you get that certification. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information about them, you can go to va.gov/AnnArborHealthcare. You can learn more about these organizations and all of their services, as well as how you can become a supporter of Veterans Radio, by going to our website at veteransradio.net/our sponsors. We also want to make sure that we thank our local veterans organizations for their longtime support. These are the guys that got us on the air back in 2003, and that is the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310 and the American Legion, Irwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Again, if you want to join us, let us know. Just send me an email. It's dale@veteransradio.net. We'll contact you and tell you how you can help us out. As you know, Veterans Radio is now a production of Veterans Radio America, and Veterans Radio America is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so any donations may be tax deductible. You need to check with your financial advisor to make sure. All right. So let's get right into talking about the VFW. My guest on the line right now, actually we're Zooming it together, is John Griffith. And John is from Carleton, Michigan, and he is a veteran, as he has to be, according to what we've talked about already. In order to become a member of the VFW, you have to have served in a combat zone. So, John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thanks, Dale. I appreciate it. And your intro is pretty interesting for me, because I didn't know I was going to be on the air with another warrant officer. I'm a retired CW5.
Oh, wow, five. No, I got out way before that could have happened.
Yeah, well, when I made it to the top at four, I thought that was the end. But then they went and they came out with five, and I said, well, that's pretty good. I got to the top, and they raised the top. But a couple months later, I made five.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
That's truly dedication to your service, because I did notice that you had been in the service for 31 years.
Yes, sir. Yeah, 15 active and 17 reserve.
Wow, I think I spent 3 years, 7 months, and 2 days, but nobody counted.
Enjoyed every minute of it, right?
I did, especially the last one. when they gave me the option of either staying in and going indefinite or leaving that day.
So
we looked like the Three Stooges going out of the gate of Fort Rucker, trying to get out of there in a hurry. But anyway, I digress, as usual. So I wanted to have you on the program because you and I met at the Fisher House dedication a couple of months ago here in Ann Arbor. And you mentioned that you were trying to kind of modernize the VFW. So I wanted to tell our audience or remind our audience of the history of the VFW a little bit. Could you go into that?
Sure, I can. VFW is the we're the longest combat veteran service organization in the United States. We trace our roots back to about 1899 at the end of the Spanish-American War and the Philippines insurrections when the veterans were coming home and they were sick and injured and they had, and the government wasn't taking care of them. A number of organizations sprang up and to fight for the benefits for veterans. And then they came together in Colorado and Columbus, Ohio, and we formed what we now call the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And I do apologize for my voice. I just, you know, as a Vietnam vet, I encountered a little Agent Orange, and I've just gotten through with therapy, so I'm trying to overcome that. So I'm sorry for your audience having to listen to a raspy voice.
Raspy voice makes for good stories. Don't worry about it. I think, you know, when some of the treatment that we go through leaves some side effects.
Yeah. Well, one of the other things are the Veterans of Foreign Wars really came into being during World War One, and then with World War Two, and that's where the history really takes off because we had so many veterans coming home from World War Two. Part of the Greatest Generation. And at that point, we didn't know about PTSD and all the other diseases and the problems that the veterans are having. And that's why for the last 50, 60 years, we've been at the forefront fighting for the benefits that our veterans so deserve. You know, and I think you just mentioned the PACT Act. We just pushed that through Congress, and that was just signed. And that's for our more modern veterans, our post-9/11 veterans. So, you know, the VFW does a lot of work that for not only our veterans, but also in the community. Most people don't realize that we like to think of ourselves in the VFW as still serving. I don't care if you did 2 years, 3 years, or you did a career, you get out, and you're a member of the VFW, you're going to be working in the community. You're going to be doing community service. You're going to be supporting scholarship programs for kids. We support Girl Scouts, Boy Scout organizations, and things like this. However, we can continue to serve is what we like to do in the VFW.
Well, I know that your motto is no one does more for veterans. And that's obviously pretty important. One of the things that we've harped on or we've talked about here on Veterans Radio many times over the last 19 years now we always had our back, you know, we had our back of our buddies when we were in the service and we've got their backs today. And that's the term that we're talking about. So we wanted to make sure that what you are doing with the VFW, which is the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I've got a little fact sheet here in front of me, and it's just amazing what your organization does. I mean, not only do you donate a lot of money to other organizations, but you've got scholarships.
Yeah. Our Voice of Democracy Patriot Pen program for middle school and high school kids. We give out scholarships, and they get to the top rung, and all the way up to Washington. That's about a $35,000 scholarship. You know, that's a full ride. And then that doesn't even include the scholarship we give at the local post, at the districts, and at the state level. And then, you know, that's something we're very proud of is our Voice of Democracy Patriots Pen. I think the theme this year is why is veterans important? And the kids are asked to write an essay on that, or and then give a speech, and that gets judged at the various levels throughout the VFW.
So what is it that you are trying to do so much to kind of modernize the VFW? We talked about this briefly before we came on the air.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm an old guy with gray hair, and too bad your audience can't see that. But one of the things that we're doing is we're moving the VFW into the current century. For so long, I mean, my father came back from World War II, and you know, from New Guinea, and like I said, they didn't know about PTSD and everything. And every village and hamlet in America at that time had a VFW post, and oftentimes it was the center of the social scene in many little towns and everything. And we got sort of a reputation of, you know, old guys sitting around drinking beer, smoking, and talking about war stories. Well, we've changed. We've moved on. You know, I won't say there's not some war stories told, but we are a family-friendly organization. We have things for the kids to do in some of our posts, and not all the posts are at the same level, but we're moving in that direction. And we de-glamorize alcohol. In the state of Michigan, you're not going to find a post, at least Evan and I hear of a post that allows smoking inside of it. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And we have some of our posts don't even have what we call canteens. My post in Carlton, we don't have a canteen. You know, it's we don't allow the public to come in and consume alcohol and things of that nature. We're more concerned about getting out in the community and serving the community with legislative action. We were at the forefront of this recently passed PACT Act. In fact, we have a legislative, one of the people on my staff is our legislative director, Kevin Hensley, and he's out of VFW Post in Monroe, 1138. And he is a victim of the burn pits and everything. And he was at the president's side when he signed that legislation because he had done so much work for that. I think everybody sees veterans out, especially around Memorial Day or Veterans Day, and they'll see, you know, they'll be handing out these little red flowers. We call them poppies.
Right.
And that goes back many years. Those poppies are made by disabled veterans, and they're compensated. And then we give those away and ask for donations, and it goes right back into what we call a relief fund. So if a veteran is in need of assistance, he can come to a VFW post. We have funds available to assist him getting through hard times. Many of our, especially the newer veterans coming out, they don't know about us. And the services certainly don't tell about the different service organizations. And they come out and they find themselves with nobody having their back. Well, if they're qualified for VFW, and I'm also a member of the American Legion, they can seek assistance, comradeship with with these organizations. And we'll have their six, we'll have their back. And, it might be helping them with a car payment, or it might be, you know, maybe their water heater went out and they're in a bind. Well, veterans are helping veterans.
I think that's something that's really important for our audience to understand, even though there are a variety of different organizations out there, you know, whether it's the VFW or American Legion or, you know, DAVs and so forth, is it sort of like all of us have the same mission statement, and that is to help America's veterans in any way that we can. I think one of the things that you mentioned is how grateful or helpful it would be if we could all kind of start working together a little bit more, share our resources.
Well, we've done that here in Michigan. And, I can't talk about all the states, but I know here in Michigan, we have what we call a commander's group. And it's, pardon me, it's made up of the commander of the VFW, the American Legion, the VVA, the Vietnam Veterans Association, excuse me, the Marine Corps League. And we come together and from time to time, we'll meet with the staff members from the governor's office or even the governor and push for legislation to assist our veterans. And the wives or the widow or widowers of veterans, just because a veteran passes away doesn't mean we forget their family. The VFW is there for that family as well and for their kids. And in fact, we're very lucky here in Michigan in a little town called Eaton Rapids. We have the VFW, home. Well, we call it the Home for Children. We're changing the name now. It's the VFW Home for Families. They're in Eaton Rapids. It's 100 years old. And we used to take in orphans and things where they had no other place to go. It was self-sufficient. And now we take in entire families. And we'll get, they've got no place else to go, we'll give them free housing. We'll send mom and dad off to vocational training if they need that, or assist them in gaining employment. Kids will go to schools locally. And that's all taken care of by the contributions of the VFW all over the United States. Another thing we've got here in Michigan, and most people aren't even aware, I would think maybe some of our own VFW members are not aware, we have what we call Camp Trotter, and that's over in Oswego. On Bill's Lake, and every summer we'll put on a seven week program for children ages I think 7 to 12, and that's paid for by our post, and we don't ask the kids to pay for their summer camp. The post donates money, the auxiliary, they'll donate money, and we send these kids to camp. And we're the only children's camp owned by the VFW in the United States. So, we got a lot to be proud of here in Michigan. And I think that's why our membership is increasing. There used to be the VFW is dying. We're not dying. We're doing great things. Last year, we were 100% membership. I've got a membership chairman that is on my staff. He's doing great, great things with his name is Garrett, and he's out of Holland Post. And our membership year started in the end of June, and we're already up at 87.78% membership. So there's no doubt in my mind we're going to go over 100%. In membership this year. By the time we get around to June 1st, where my tenure will be up.
I think that's great that your numbers are going up and that you're trying to become much more interactive with this new generation of veterans, because our generation's veterans, both John and I are Vietnam era veterans, is that it took us a while to get active.
It did,
mainly because some of the organizations at the time when we got out were not very friendly toward us, and we said, okay, well, fine, we'll just we'll go on without you. But I think it turns out that we find that we really ended up needing each other a little bit more than we thought.
Yeah, well, Dale, I'm going to address that if you don't mind. I've heard these stories about guys coming back from the Korean War, and they had a little bit better than the guys from Vietnam, because at least they called it a war. Now, the guys came back from Vietnam, and it was a police action, and they, and there was a resistance, I will admit, initially to having Vietnam veterans, enter the organization. But, and there was some of our guys were not treated well. And I've had people say, well, the VFW, you know, the VFW didn't want me 50 years ago, so why do they need me now? And that, I hate to hear that, because that means for 50 years, because you ran in to some veteran who was a member to a post that was not well enlightened, was maybe, you know, he didn't want to be at the bottom of the totem pole, I guess. You know, he said, oh, yeah, well, that's not even a real war. And so the guys didn't join. And unfortunately, because they've missed out on 50 years of comradeship, 50 years of community involvement, they've missed out on the benefits of being a member of the VFW. And that's a real shame. And I really wish, whether it be the VFW or the American Legion or the VBA, I really wish that people would not paint a whole organization because they ran into one or two disgruntled old guys. We'll say it that way.
I think that would be a kind way of putting it, because it's that's unfortunate that did occur. And, you know, I don't even know if it's, you know, if they're, it's just, you know, rumors or, you know, old wives' tales or what it was. And it's, you know, we got to get away from that, because I think the organizations like yours and like some of the other ones are really great places for men and women. More women today are joining these organizations. And
I was so proud of the last, at my last conference, we had a fall conference up in in Flint. And, we had two young female veterans that had just joined the organization. I had the pleasure of swearing them in front of about 300, 400 VFW members in auxiliary. And that's, you know, I haven't said too much about the auxiliary, but if you don't mind, I'd like to say the VFW has an auxiliary. It used to be called the Ladies Auxiliary, but we no longer have a Ladies Auxiliary. Now it's just the Auxiliary, because we have dads out there that have sons and daughters in the service, and they want to support their sons and daughters. And for the longest time, they were just sort of excluded. You know, if you weren't a member of the VFW and you weren't a lady, you couldn't be an auxiliary member. But we've done away with that about 4 or 5 years ago. And now it's just the auxiliary, and we work hand in hand. In fact, I tell my post commanders that you can have a good VFW post without an auxiliary. But if you want to have a great VFW post, you better get yourself an auxiliary, because they can help out so much with the different programs and fundraisers and things like this that we're involved in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're talking here with John Griffith, who's the statewide commander of the VFW here in Michigan. And I want to thank you, John, for all the time that you've given us today. If I wanted to join the VFW, how do I go about doing that?
There's a couple of different ways. You can go on. You can call my office in Lansing at 517-485-9456. And you can talk to my staff there, tell them where you live, and if you'd like to join a post nearby, they'll point you in the right direction. The other thing you can do is go on to, of course, www.vfwmi.org, and or you can go to vfw.org and get the national, and you can sign up right on the internet. Or over the phone. If you got a smartphone, you can do that. And then we'll be in contact with you. You can do everything, become a member at large. And then one of our local posts will reach out and invite you down to that post. And they'll get you to be a member there at the local post.
All right. Well, I encourage all of our veteran audience out there to check out your local VFW. There are a bunch of great men and women that are running these organizations. And they're really there for your benefit. And without the political push that sometimes the VFW and American Legion and other organizations can put, some of these rules and laws that have gone through recently couldn't have been done. So, John, I thank you very much for your time, and enjoyed having you on the program, and take care of that issue that's bothering your throat there.
Well, the VA out in Ann Arbor is doing a real good job treating me really well. So I appreciate it, Dale. Thank you. It was good seeing you again. And I'll go back to doing some work around the house here.
Stay tuned. You might learn something new, too. Thank you very much, John Griffith. We're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we've got a question on the line for our benefits expert. And we'll be back shortly with Carol Ann Falsone from Legal Help for Veterans. And hopefully we can get in touch with our representative of the Ann Arbor VA healthcare system. So we will be back in just a moment. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Second Lieutenant Darwin Kyle charged an enemy emplacement single-handedly, killing the three enemy soldiers. Details after this.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
When his platoon had been pinned down by intense fire, Kyle completely exposed himself to move among and encourage his men to continue the advance against North Korean forces strongly entrenched on Hill 185. Inspired by his courageous leadership, the platoon resumed the advance, but was again pinned down when an enemy machine gun opened fire, wounding six of the men. Kyle immediately charged the hostile emplacement alone, engaged the crew in hand-to-hand combat, killing all three. Continuing on toward the objective, his platoon suddenly received an intense automatic weapons fire from a well-concealed hostile position on its right flank. Again leading his men in a daring bayonet charge against this position, firing his carbine and throwing grenades, Kyle personally destroyed four of the enemy before he was killed by a burst from an enemy submachine gun.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit veteranscrisisline.net. Veteranscrisisline.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio, and we're going into the benefits side of our program on this Sunday. And we want to encourage you, if you do have a question, to give us a call. The number is 734-822-1600. Joining me right now is our benefits expert extraordinaire, and that is retired Air Force General Carol Ann Falsone, who is also with Legal Help for Veterans. So, General, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Hey, good afternoon, Dale. And I'm just one of the, experts, as you call it, but welcome to be back on the show.
Well, it's good to have you back. For our audience that missed it last month, we had our fundraiser during the benefits program, so we didn't get to talk a whole lot to answer any questions. But we do already have a gentleman on the line from California calling in with a VA benefits question. So, David, you're on Veterans Radio.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling you from out in California, and apparently COVID is kind of reemerging out here. So I'm wondering if, I know the VA hospital offers vaccines, and I'm just wondering, you had the fellow from VFW. I wonder if they were helping sponsor vaccine drives. But just to give you a heads up, Lansing, I see you got a population of 112,000. And you got 848 dead right now. Well, I'm calling you from San Francisco, where our population is just short of 900,000. So you're about seven times smaller than us, but you've got about five times more dead. And COVID is real. And this is, if you've got five times more dead people, We've got 1,044 dead in the course of 2.5 years, and you've got 848, but your population is something like seven times smaller than us. And so you are extremely high, and it's definitely real. And I'm just wondering if the VA system or Veterans for Foreign Wars are doing anything to encourage people to get vaccinated.
Well, I mean, I'll let Caroline, I'll let you go first.
Sure. Dave, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your awareness of this pandemic. I am a nurse, and I want to say the VA has been extremely active in getting individuals and offering our veterans, and not only our veterans, but their family, to come in and get the vaccines. You know, they talk about the flu shot. What we're facing right now is, and they're calling it the triple effect with not only COVID, and hopefully you've had your vaccines and your boosters so that if you do get it, it's in the mild form compared to when back in 2020, you know, so many individuals were on ventilators and you're able to fight it. But we're also right now in the flu season. So hopefully people are getting their flu shots. And then with the weather and everything else going on, a lot of individuals, the very young and the elderly, are experiencing all the respiratory diseases. So if you already have underlying complications with COPD and asthma, it's another trigger. So that's why they are calling it the triple effect right now. And they're talking about that it might even, you know, the numbers might get larger. You're exactly correct in your analysis. However, if you're vaccinated and, you know, you're trying to wear masks and you're being preventative and washing your hands and not going to major events, if you yourself are compromised at that time, hopefully you and your family will not get this, the COVID, and spread it. But yes, the VA is very active. I know individuals say they're almost tired every time they go in to see their provider. Those questions keep coming up, and the providers are checking, you know, your flu shots, your vaccines. And not only that, they're trying to make sure you are vaccinated in other areas, like you've gotten the pneumonia shot and your shingles. And so they really do keep up trying to be very preventative. And I've had a great experience with them for many years. And I really think the VA does a great job in getting that information out.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the shingles shot. Isn't that one of the, I'm trying to remember if it's the word precursors, but, you know, you'd be kind of in a weakened state if you caught COVID. So shingles would be one of those, you know, like they say, diabetes and overweight and whatnot. I'm trying to remember if shingles was on that list.
Well, I think anything, it's a hereditary issue, and it, you know, depends on your age. That's why I think it's really important, the pneumonia shot, with the respiratory issues. Shingles could be underlying, and anything with, if you get COVID, you know, could spark its ugly head. But, you know, to be preventative and get in there, especially if members of your family have had shingles, you know, I think it's real important just to ask the questions with your provider.
Sure. Hey, well, I'll kind of wrap up with just here in San Francisco, we had 18 people die just in the last, I think, 10 days. And so it is definitely happening, and it's you know, here we have Halloween in, you know, in San
yes.
Francisco and
yep.
large crowds and whatnot. So yeah, be very cautious.
Well, we appreciate your calling in, and literally, it is always awesome that we don't feel, at least me as a nurse, and I know Dale, that we're always preaching to the choir. So I really appreciate your call today to help other citizens, our veterans and their families stay healthy and well. So thank you so much for the call.
Oh, my pleasure. We're doing it for America.
Right, David. Thank you very much. I think one of the issues that might come into your ratio, we're not in Lansing, really. We're in the other town in Michigan, where they, especially after this weekend. But anyhow, there's been some resistance to the vaccines here in our state. And I think sometimes we pay for that with the numbers that were a little bit higher than in other parts of the country. So we always encourage people, from a non-political standpoint, is to get vaccinated, not just for you and not just for your family, but for everybody around you that you may come in contact with. You know, we've all lost family. We've all lost friends through this last 3 years. And we would like it to just go away. And the best way to make it go away is to prevent it from happening at all. And as Carol Ann pointed out, I mean, every time you walk into the VA hospital, at least the local one, did you get your shots? Did you get this? Did you get that booster? Yes, yes, yes. In fact, at the Ann Arbor VA, the Charles S. Kettles VA, you can go in without an appointment and get pretty much any vaccine that you are qualified for, or that is not, I'm sorry, not qualified, but that you need, and you can get it that day almost immediately. So hopefully the other VAs around the country are doing the same thing, but I know ours is very proactive.
You know, Dale, I think the other important thing that, you know, I was always taught, if you're going in and you're scheduled, even if you're scheduled, if you're not feeling well, you're already feeling compromised, they sometimes withhold that day for you to get your vaccine just because it could cause additional lagging complications. You know, we all laugh and say, oh, we get the flu shot, and then right after it, you know, we get a cold or we're sick. Well, I got mine a couple of weeks ago within our community, and I want to tell you, it was probably one of my non-effect, not even sore arm. But you know what I've been trying to do, and maybe this is a tip for everybody, before I got any COVID shot or any booster, and I've been doing it with my flu shots now, I try to drink plenty of water and be very hydrated, and then immediately after, you know, a couple Tylenol, ibuprofen, just to stay on the side of getting rid of any of those little nagging irritations that could pop up. And this one was the easiest. I didn't even take anything after because my arm wasn't sore. You know, I just worked it out. So, you know, I hope that doesn't mean that we don't have the right formula for the flu shot. And so, but stay tuned.
Well, I think it's, as I said earlier, I think it's important to, you got to trust somebody. And I always, you know, and I'm at the point in my life where I trust my doctor implicitly. And if she says, get this, I get it.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not outrageous. So,
You know, just along with that, Dale, just one split second, you know, I think the VA has a great concept where you belong to a team, whatever color you are. And, you know, so yes, you have your primary care physician, but you also have a nurse. You also have a social worker. You have an individual that you call in. And if you're in the portal, you type a question, you get an answer back right away. You're not feeling good. They kind of triage you over the phone. They will tell you what to do, help you out. So, you know, the team concept, we all need everybody. And they get to the physician, your primary care. So, but if we forget to communicate to them that we're having an issue, shame on us. So it's our responsibility to get back with our team.
Well, no, I agree. And I wish I knew if the other, I'm probably pretty sure that the other VAs are probably similar as far as their setup is concerned. But I know that I had an issue this last week, and I didn't have an appointment, and my primary care appointment was scheduled for December. They didn't know if they could get me in before then. And within a couple of hours, I got a call from the nurse who said, come in, I'm going to take a look at it. And the doctor's going to come through and follow up on it right away. So I was, again, you know, when you feel like you have medical care like that, you just keep promoting it.
Yes.
It's a place that, at least locally, we are very fortunate, I think, to have the team members that we do on all the various colors teams that are out there. I am a member of the purple team, so it's I feel fortunate with that. The other thing about the VA, and I'm sorry that Brian is not available, is that they are doing some amazing things. In the last month, the VA has has announced a number of different programs. And I got a list here. Just a second. Number one is that the PACT Act is speeding up the veterans' breast cancer claims through the PACT Act. And I suppose we could touch on the PACT Act again, but it says that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and thanks to the historic new law, better known as the PACT Act, veterans with cancer conditions related to toxic exposure, including reproductive cancer of any type as well as breast cancer, can more easily access benefits from the VA, VBA, Veterans Benefits Administration. And this was the thing I thought was interesting about the PACT Act, and I know you have told me this because Legal Help for Veterans, this is the kind of, I have to tell this because they are helping me with one of my claims. I have to do that, right? You need to file your claims now. They're not evidently going to begin processing claims for the PACT Act until January 1st. Maybe sooner.
No, if you're a veteran in the system and you have, you say, oh, I didn't know that with a certain cancer or one of the presumptives from the PACT Act, you send it in, they're not going to delay looking at that. If they're already looking at you for something else, claims have been filed. You might have a claim in, let's just say you have hypertensive disease and you have a claim in. You've already had a claim in and it's been sort of percolating maybe a year or so. Now with this, your agent is able to go back in and say, hey, I want either an expedited or a higher level rating and to be looking at this veteran. And that doesn't mean they're going to decide on it immediately, but it's in the system. And so that's the important thing. And then it'll be a retro. You have to imagine that since this was announced, this and the Blue Water and Camp Lejeune coming out, Camp Lejeune, that I want to say at least 100,000 claims, I'm sure, were released immediately. People, and I hope they did, our veterans are entitled to these benefits, that they have filed claims and they're going to take a look at that. And yes, what your point was, Dale, that this is October. This is Cancer Awareness Month. And so I think they made a huge effort to say that they're going to look at some of these issues more rapidly. You know, I got a call. When's the last time you got your mammography? When are some of the things that related to the cancers, we can do for you? Are you up on all your tests? Are you up on everything so we could not only diagnose it, but we could be preventative. If things are caught earlier, that is more beneficial for any patient.
Well, I know that the VA is reaching out to more and more, to women veterans more and more.
Yes.
To make sure, and they're trying to, I think they're making their treatments and their procedures and everything more user-friendly for women veterans as well.
Yes, that's very true. And I think the privacy, it was kind of interesting when the commander was on with the VFW. I haven't heard this in a while, and I was smiling, and I almost wanted to chime in. For the longest time, our women veterans and our spouses weren't recognized. So the ladies auxiliary came along, and now they're realizing, like in my case, but my spouse is also a veteran, but you do have female veterans and their spouse is a male, and the males want to contribute. Their children want to contribute. So hats off that they've changed the auxiliary from lady auxiliary, which would some people might not come in, but the fact that they've changed it to auxiliary, I think that is very commendable for them.
I think the vast majority of the veteran service organizations, the American Legion, VVA, Paralyzed Veterans, and so forth, are kind of, they're moving into the 21st century. And realizing that, the percentage of veterans from women veterans is growing, dramatically, over the last 20 years, especially. And that, in order to be an inclusive organization, you've got to include everybody.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's so important. In fact, there was another article I saw that the VA is closing the gap on survivor benefits for LGBTQ+ veterans and their survivors.
Yes.
And this is something that is really important out there, because up until 2015, when same-sex marriages were legalized, I guess would be the term, and they lost their partner prior to it being legal, they can go back and file. Now, am I getting that correct?
Yep, you could go back, and yes, you could file. But it's really important, to not do this on your own. I mean, sometimes we sound like, a broken record, but go to your VFW, American Legion, your DAV, go to a Veterans County counselor. I'm sure Michael, Director of Washtenaw, would tell us if Mike was on today. Yep, we do these all the time. Reach out to Legal Help for Veterans. Reach out to somebody that has the experience to help you with that. The one other thing, unless you had a question, Dale, since this is benefits, I want to share with you that, I've always said sometimes, even with our Legal Help for Veterans or a claim that's out there, if you feel like it's dragging on and you need a push, we've always said, call your congressman or congresswoman, call your senator, and they could help you with your claim. They're also very good to help with Social Security issues, immigration issues, benefit issues. And just recently, I don't have a date, but it is called the Solid Start Act program, was passed within Congress, and was passed into law just recently. And it will help citizens, not only veterans, but citizens to call and find out about from their congressman or woman, to find out more about Social Security benefits you're entitled to, Medicare, immigration, passport issues. If you're having any problems there, call your congressional office in your district.
That's really important, because I just found out recently that a friend of mine called our local congressperson's office and ended up getting a check from the VA within weeks.
Yes.
And because, they have some pull, and that's good. It doesn't make any difference what party they're in. I think all of them have somebody in their office that's kind of dedicated to handling VA questions or Social Security questions, and so forth. And it's one way that to make sure that you get what you're entitled to. And that's the whole thing, where folks, why we're doing this benefits program every month, is to make sure that you get the benefits that you're entitled to. You may think that you don't need them. Well, save them for the other guy. Don't worry about it. There's plenty to go around, and we want to make sure that, you know, there are so many little programs that the VA has for not only for disability claims, but for treatments and the healthcare system, you know, not only in the VA hospital itself, but they may refer you out of the hospital to someplace else, to a civilian hospital that has more expertise in that particular issue. And you're not going to have to pay for it. If you're covered under VA currently, you're not going to pay for it if you go to an outside provider. Right. And I think that that's really important, that we keep reminding the people. And also, in order to get your VA health benefits, you got to go sign up at the VA.
Yep.
And you can do that online.
It's, I hate to say it, it's pretty easy, the 1010 easy. Dale, just for a second, I just want to reflect back. I worked in the congressional office for 4.5 years and obviously was the primary for benefits and addressing VA issues for veterans or constituents in that district. But the other thing that we do, and that most do, and if they don't have an individual, I've gotten calls to say, hey, could you help with this? Is we put our veterans in for those benefits that not been awards and decks, whether it's Purple Heart. We just lost a veteran recently who I assisted with the French Legion of Honor. He was in Normandy. And, you know, you need that extra push. And, you know, congressional man or woman, that's why we have the Charles S. Kettle, because Congressman John Dingell and then Congresswoman Deborah Dingell continued to follow up and push for that campaign. And so I think I want to give a great shout out that, you know, the congressional offices could be used and utilized to help you with even getting your awards and decks.
I think that, yeah, I mean, that's important. And decks, she's recording decorations.
Thank you, Dale.
You know, some of us don't understand what we're talking about when we use our acronyms and everything else out there from the military. I think it's beneficial. You know, I did a, this is just a quick aside. I did a research, I guess you go, on my DD-214. I thought there was something missing on it. So I sent in a request to get a copy of it. And when I got it back, there was a whole other page with decks, as you said, on there that I wasn't even aware of. And I think that that might be important to some people who want to know, you know, what medals or decorations that you were entitled to while you're in the service. Because some of you, and I know I was one of them, when I got out of the service, I just kind of threw everything in a box and didn't even look at it for 30 or 40 years. And our, by the way, our records, the Vietnam veterans records, were not destroyed in any fire. That was only a small portion of World War II veterans that were lost. And so even if, you know, you may be a Korean veteran, or maybe you have a grandfather who's a Korean veteran, or even a World War II veteran, you may be able to ask for the often, I can't remember the name of the particular department, somebody will know. And you may be entitled to other recognitions that you're not aware of.
Well, that's absolutely true. And that DD-214, I'm telling you, it's the most valuable piece of paper, because I'm exploring a Purple Heart for a Distinguished Flying Cross veteran right now. And he was a POW. And do you know the POW indication was not on his DD-214? So we sent in the forms. I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe it's the SF-180 for a correction or, you know, to list those medals if you didn't get an attachment page. But they should have been in the little box on the front page, because most DD-214s do not have two pages. It's just that one page that has your entire history.
Yes, and it's tough when they put your hometown down incorrectly.
Yes. So, then that needs to be changed.
It does. It does. So that might be something I have to work on. So we're coming up on 1 minute to go. Is there anything else that you can think of, Carol Ann, that we need to tell our audience about benefits this week?
Well, the only thing I could really say is by the time we come together, we would have already had Veterans Day. So I want to wish everybody a blessed Veterans Day. Thank a veteran. And also, just take care of one another. Like our caller, if you need vaccines, you know, you need the flu shot, try to be as preventative for you and your family as possible.
I could agree. I agree 100%. We want to make sure that we take care of each other, and especially in our smaller community that's getting smaller, it seems like every day. But we want to make sure that everybody gets what they're entitled to. So Carol Ann Faustone from Legal Help for Veterans, thank you very much for being on our program today. We will be back next month with our benefits program. That'll be the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So it may be recorded. So if you have questions that you want, you know, want answered, please just contact Legal Help for Veterans or send me an email, and I'll pass it along to Carol Ann and Michael, and we'll get the answers to your questions. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We want to thank you for supporting our sponsors. That's Legal Help for Veterans, National Veterans Business Development Council, the Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center, and all of that. So until next week, this is Dale Thornberry. For all of us here at Veterans Radio, you are dismissed.